Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer looking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Thank you.
Right.
My name is George. I'm here with John. Hello, John.
Hello, George.
What are you doing?
I am sitting in my loft talking to you.
Very nice. And I'm here with a man who's named himself Fridge Man today. Is that you, Nigel?
It is me. It's cold.
Why are you a Fridge Man? Because it's cold in your shed.
I'm in my shed.
Hang on, I don't know if that works. Oh, it does.
I think of other ways to keep the fans, the 8 listeners happy. So,
hey, someone's winning a battle here. don't let things get to you.
No, I know. It's not bothered me whatsoever at all.
No Sean tonight. He's away, sunning himself.
He's got a away on his birthday present, isn't he?
Oh, was it a birthday present? Was it? Didn't realize it.
From his good lady.
Oh well. Happy birthday, Sean.
A big birthday coming up very shortly.
Well, all birthdays are big when you're his size, aren't they?
Cool, we never had so many puns in the first 120 seconds.
So much banter, and everyone gets it because Sean's not here.
So Sean usually writes a running order, and it's usually an essay. Today I've done the running order, and it's got 5 words on it.
Brilliant.
6 words, sorry, can't even count. We've got a few games to cover. First one is West Brom. Which everyone's going to have to cast their minds back. I don't even remember the score.
2-1.
2-1 to us.
Oh, yes, the old Andy Carroll last night. That's the one. Yeah, first day back at work, wasn't it? Well, not for you. But.
Yeah, I was off.
What the verdicts then? Nigel, let's start with you.
Oh, rubbish game, wasn't it? I mean, just to... the paint a picture, at half time we were 19th in the table. We were 1-0 down. But I suppose the mark of a good manager sometimes is to see what happens. Can he get the players to react in the second half? So I suppose you can't, you got to look at and say, well, Moyes obviously got into them, got them going. And the change, I think, bringing Noble on, changed the way we played.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we got the win. That was the important thing. You know, Andy Carroll, love him or loathe him, he delivered the one game of the season that he always does. And that's it. Now we can sell him and know that we got the one game of season out of him this season.
Yeah, things did seem to change when Noble came on, didn't it?
Yeah.
He seemed to gee everyone up a bit.
He takes control in the middle, didn't he? We are lacking in the middle, aren't we? That's where we're really lacking.
Yeah.
It does seem that way. Yeah. Players that you know, last season, people, Obiang come into the team late and people were putting him up for Hammer of the Year. And yet this season, he's not been...
Kiari. Yeah, what's happened to him?
I don't know. I watched that. We'll do the Shrewsbury game later, but there was a clip of him chasing the bloke from Shrewsbury, and it was just like, he just give up. It was like me running. Just non-existent. It just weren't there. I don't know. But, you know, West Brom are going to feel aggrieved because of the 94th minute. But, you know, we won the ball. They had the ball and we won it. And luckily, we slotted it home. A good finish by Carroll.
It was. Yeah. I mean, it was a disappointing performance, wasn't it, given that we'd had the break and they hadn't. They looked like the better team for, well, definitely the first half at least. And we just didn't have seen too many legs. But like I said, I think the midfield is where that needs to change.
Yeah, I agree. Yep, it was.
Anything to add, John?
No, not really. It was a poor watch and it was just glossed over at the end when it by that goal, which sent us all home happy. So, yeah.
Okay, look at that. Look, 5 minutes in, already get one game done. That's what happens when we don't have Sean. Number two, Spurs. Now, we can talk a bit more about this one because of that goal, I think. Talking about Aubameyang being hammer of the year last year, I think he's in with a shout this year now after that goal.
It was all right, wasn't it?
It'll do. None of us went, though, did they?
No.
Nigel, you didn't go?
No. Look, 3 games in a week's too much for me, to be fair. But
really?
Well, no, probably not. But it keeps the missus happy. I'd rather have a 13-hour day at Shrewsbury than watch us get beat by Spurs. Which I was thinking. When we went 1-0 up, thinking, wish I'd gone now. Go on, do John first and I'll do my bit. I've got a little bit of rant about that.
Go on, John.
Well, it was extremely negative when it until the goal. It was very hard to watch. But, you know, it's so... All I came out of that saying really was look, we all accept it to some degree because we're little West Ham and Spurs are like top six now and they've kicked on over the years. But... You know, we accept it because, you know, we're playing against City. We sit behind the ball. We accept it. And it was a great goal. And it was a little bit disappointing for them to equalise. And I kind of feel like Adrian could have got his hand to it. I was a bit disappointed.
He nearly did.
But, yeah, the game, it was, you know, the point's a good point. We're happy with that. The performance was just... very wearing again to sit there and watch it. And my comeback on that whole night was, here we are now, 8 years on, where's the progress? Where is the progress? And it was just a little bit, you know, we accept it because we're used to accepting it because we support West Ham, we're used to it. But we're supposed to be run now properly, not like a circus. And we are supposed to be progressing. And where is the progress? So that's my complaint. But yeah, great point, great goal, unbelievable goal. Where'd that come from, you know?
Didn't expect it. When he hit it, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was our only shot on target at that point, wasn't it?
I think it was all game. We only had one shot all game. We have only one all game, though, didn't we?
No, we had three.
Did we?
You put one.
Yeah, that one shot.
Saved it.
Tried to dink it over him to the other player, I think. Well, I mean, I went to Wembley on Sunday to watch Tottenham FC Wimbledon. I've got a lot of friends and one of my mates actually works for Wimbledon, so we all went. And I think Wimbledon put in, I mean, they obviously didn't get a result like we did, but they put in a better performance against Spurs, albeit not a full-strength Spurs team, but they definitely had more shots on goal than we did.
Yeah.
So here it just shows you the comparison between the two. But I think, yeah, the real positive is that goal.
It was unbelievable goal, yeah.
It was. And let's hope he kicks on now because he hasn't been that impressive this year and like that could change things around, couldn't they?
You think so. If it's going to happen that way, then where was he at Shrewsbury?
That's
the next game.
For me...
Nigel, you've got a rant about Spurs.
Yeah, for me, there was the goal was outstanding. It come at a funny time for me because I was on the phone to my uncle telling him how crap we are, and I broke into it and gone like, fucking hell, that's a goal, what's a goal? I jumped up and he went, what? I said, West Ham scored. He went, well, you just told me how rubbish they are. And I went, yeah, I know, forget that, we just got 1-0. That's the goal of the season, oh my life.
It is, isn't it?
Because it was just, and then they got into it and then thing, but people, it woke people up on the social media. But for me, that game was nothing to celebrate. And it showed, I think, how much this club, this once great footballing club, has fallen, that we resorted to those tactics again against Tottenham. To not have a shot against Tottenham, no matter how good the shot is, and I'm not going to moan about that, but for that to be our first shot against Tottenham, that's bad. That for a club of West Ham that used to pride itself on the way, the only thing we had was the way we played football. The people liked us as a second club because of the way we played football. And that's what we've lost. Now, you could argue that football in general has gone that way. But to think that it's acceptable to play 9 men in the box, I'm sorry, I won't ever. I refuse to accept that as being the norm to play against the big teams. You've got to show a bit of ambition.
Yeah, there's always been big teams, isn't there? There's always been teams that you're going to go out and get beaten to all out throughout history.
Football will kill itself. If everybody has that tactic against the big boys, then the Premier League will slowly kill itself. Because that is negative football. And it ain't what, if we're football fans, we go to watch football because we want to see a decent game of football and we want to see goals scored. If that was Allardyce, I'd be screaming, that's the antichrist of football, that type of tactics. The only good thing about Moyes is he comes out and he admits it's not such the best way to play and he hopes to play better. But obviously that will come with time. We'll see if he can get the players in to change. I don't think Moyes wants to play that way, where Allardyce was happy to up that way. I think Moyes is horses for courses at the moment. He's not made any signings, so he's still using the players that he's inherited. And that's why I'll be a bit more forgiving on him, but I will never celebrate us playing that way. I'll accept it at this moment in time for what it is, a good point away, but I won't celebrate it like it was some fantastic performance, because it weren't. It was, frankly, in my opinion, embarrassing.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
The thing with Moyes is, like I said on the last podcast, you know, he's been targeted and bonused on keepers in the Premier League. Yeah. So, like you say, accept it for now. But, you know, if he does stay on next year, if and when we stay up, you know, that's when you start looking at it and you expect him to change things up a bit.
I'd be disappointed if he leaves, to be honest.
I think anyone would.
But his real test is coming now, isn't it? Yeah, you know, we've got this little run of, like everyone said, they're 5 winnable games. So they're going to be games where he can't play that way. He's going to have to go out and have a go, isn't he? Hmm. So see what he produces. But yeah, we accept it. And we are in the position where we are. That 1 point lifted us. I don't know how many positions, Nige, did it take us up the table?
Well, funny enough, where I said at half time against West Brom, we were 19th. When we went 1-0 up, so 8:30 on Tuesday, we were 19th. At 9:30 on Thursday, we were 11th.
Yeah.
So we, you know, in the space of 2 days, we'd gone from like 16th to 19th, up to 11th, and finished off 15th or 16th again. It was like, that's how tight it is, isn't it? It's crazy. Top 10 still on. Top 10 is still on. It's possible.
But that's the thing, isn't it? He's like doing all he can do is just to keep us where we need to be. And we can sit there and we can kind of accept it. You know, we all sort of, great, we get a point. What a great goal. Shit performance, but we've got a point because we need a point. It's another point we didn't think we were going to get.
Yeah, Brucey bonus.
So, yeah. So on that basis, yeah, I accept that. But you know, there is the point that he's trying his best to keep us where we are. And it is the point I said earlier about, you know, 8 years on of this ownership and where's the progress? You know, we are still struggling.
Well, we're about the same position, aren't we? I think the 17th of Jan is the day, you know, the day to wear black for me. I might go to the Bournemouth game dressed as an Undertaker, I think. But, yeah, 17th of Jan, I think, is the day they bought the club 8 years ago, 2010. And we're probably in the same position roughly as where they bought us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think you're right to question them, John.
Yeah, no longer everyone's second favourite club, though. Everyone either sort of like hates us for the state we're in and the football we're producing, or for we've got a free stadium. So we're no longer everyone's second team. They've achieved something.
Well, we managed to turn the Spurs game round onto the board as well.
Yeah. Without him to defend them.
And then another smashing performance away at Shrewsbury. Now, I have to admit, I haven't even seen highlights. I don't think there are many. And obviously, I was at the Wimbledon game, supporting Wimbledon. So you're going to have to leave it to you two to delve into this one. What went wrong?
Well, I'll quickly say, because I didn't go, I'll say it was an awful watch. It was really bad football, and the best players on the pitch were the youngsters. And it was like the only highlight for me out of that game was the fact that the youngsters played, and they played well. Like Josh Cullen done really well, especially when he got moved into the middle.
And had his teeth knocked out.
He had his teeth knocked out, and he still carried on, which I thought was a bit strange that they kept him on there, but I think he wanted to stay on. And Joe Hart was the other one. He had a good game, a couple of great saves that actually kept us in the game. So that's how I saw it. What did you see, Nige? You were there.
Yeah, I thought we was toothless before Cullen went in the middle. I was saving that one. I thought you were going to spoil my joke then. I'll tell you what, the food outside was really good. And it was cheap. I think I paid for the burger, lovely burger, was about £4, the chips a couple of quid. Teas. The food was so nice, I went back again and had a hot dog.
What's that like? Was it like a fan zone area then?
A fan zone as such as Shrewsbury, which was basically one food stall, a pop up tent, a disco, and a bar. But I was at the ground at 11:45, so and people I went with, I was the nominated driver my turn, so didn't drink. So I was actually dancing. If anyone's seen the video, I was sober.
Did you do that sober?
Yeah, did that. God help us. I'll tell you what, the music was really good, because I always say when you go, the further west you go, it's like going back in time. So when you hit Shropshire, it's like 20 years ago. And the music they played was from the mid-90s, all the indie stuff, which I absolutely love. So I was bopping away, and then they stuck the One Step Beyond, and I went a bit funny, and then my mate said, "Oh, let's have a video." I went, "Go on then." But
I went a bit funny. if you want to watch the video, it is on the Facebook page.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. That was a private video. I will point out first, but it's there now. So poke fun at it all you like. It was a 13-hour day. It's a coin John's
phrase. As long as you don't get upset, Nigel.
Yeah, spoilt by 2 hours of football. It was. I don't know that. Dude, I can't even think of the two we had on target. I can't think of one shot that we had. I can't think of one. Can you help me out? Because, well, obviously,
no,
I can't.
I'm just thinking, no, we didn't do anything. And
it was awful.
For Cullen and Burke to come in, not having played for West Ham or been at the club for virtually a year and a half, the pair of them, I've been out on loan for like a year and a half, Bradford and Bolton. To come and play that well, Rice is getting better and better with every game.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
It makes perhaps selling Reece Oxford palatable, funny enough. In that we all thought Reece Oxford was going to be one, and that Rice looks like the real deal.
But surely there's room for both, isn't
there? I mean, well, the thing what you do is you play both and see what happens, isn't it? Once Oxford's got an injury, I think. Yeah. So once he's fit, definitely play them both and see what happens. Because at the end of the day, every kid we bring through either saves the club money or means there's more money to spend on better players.
Yeah.
What about Martinez? What did you rate of him, see of him?
Yeah, how did he get
well, I mean, it's not for the first time he had his name sung at a ground before he came on, but this time he actually got on for his debut. And he did all right. You know, he only had 20 minutes, didn't he? But I think there was one thing in the second half that nearly went out for a throw. It was sort of a half punt, half, don't know what it was. But and I thought, well, there you go, innit? But, you know, he's got on now. He's had a run around. Hopefully he'll get another crack at him at the London Stadium on Tuesday, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been announced today. Yeah,
we go through it all again.
You going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
You going, John?
Oh, I doubt it. Was it a tenner, innit?
Only tenner.
It's only a tenner.
I'd like to apologise if I've offended anyone else.
Moving swiftly on. That's the Shrewsbury game, and we do it all over again, as you said. So, January transfer window is open, as we know. And we're being linked with a few names. From what I'm gathering, it looks like Shelvey is the most realistic and likely to happen. Is that what everyone's hearing?
Only what they're saying, yeah.
How do we feel about that?
I like him.
He's got some quality, isn't he? He has got some quality, and he's got an attitude as well. So he's a West Ham fan as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think I've
apparently.
I think I've seen things of him buying West Ham gear in the shop. So, I wouldn't mind him, but yeah, we could do it with someone with a bit more about him in the middle.
Yeah,
story I heard was that he was at the club until about 13, 14, and his dad was a youth coach at the club, and there must have been some type of argument, and then. They pulled him out and he went to Charlton. And I think he made his Charlton debut at 15. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
he was the youngest ever player to play for Charlton, or he was at the time. And before.
Well, he's the same age as me and my friend Reese, who actually used to be on the podcast for the long time listeners. He played for Wales. Under 16 in the Victory Shield against John Joe Shelvey when he was playing for England. And he was at Charlton then.
Was he not the England captain at that stage?
He was. Yeah. And Reese fouled him on the edge of the box live on Sky Sports. And John Joe Shelvey buried it in the top left-hand corner. A free kick. So, he was at Charlton at that age. But, yeah, I've heard that he's a West Ham fan too. The others that we're looking at, Fellaini is one that's been banded around.
I'll be very surprised if we were to get
him. Would you not take Fellaini. Him? Yes or no?
I would take him. He's done well for Moyes throughout his history, isn't he? Moyes tends to know how to get the best out of him. I would take him. He's better than a lot of the players we got there. So, yeah.
I'd have him.
He's one of those players that, if he's on your team, you don't mind hating him. Do you know what I mean? Like, you hate him a lot, but if he's on your team, you wouldn't really mind.
Yeah. But he's like I say, he's proven quality. All said and done, you know, he's maybe one type of a player, but Moyes gets the best out of him. So but I'd be surprised if we were to get him. I mean, these players are all going to, all money, aren't they?
Mm.
So, you know, Shelvey, someone like Shelvey, I don't know what money he's on wage wise, but Fellaini's wages have got to be enormous, haven't they?
Oh,
yeah, I'd imagine so.
He's probably earning the same as, he's got to be on 120 grand a week, isn't he?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know.
I think a lot, every Man United player's on that level of money. Boba first teamers. And then, John, there was one you mentioned before we started recording, the Belgian. Over to you.
I don't know if this player is Belgian.
Oh, is it not?
No, this is someone else, is it? I think it could be. I don't know. Nico Gaetan. He plays for Atletico. And we're apparently going for him. Or we're linked with him as well as Everton. He's a midfielder.
He'll be going to Everton then.
How do you spell that name? Gaetan?
He's Argentine. There you go. Nico Gaetan.
Oh,
right. He's an Argentine midfielder. Everton and West Ham have joined fellow Premier League sides Watford and Southampton in pursuit of Argentine international.
I wonder if Manuel Lanzini can have a little word with him, you know?
Yeah, he's joining Spurs.
He's a 29-year-old. But I saw something today. Was it Coral had shortened the odds on Lanzini going to Liverpool?
Well, they would do, because Coutinho has been confirmed.
Yeah.
Well, he would be a perfect replacement for him, wouldn't he?
I don't know about that. Is he in that same quality, is he?
No, but I mean, I don't know how Coutinho is.
25. Coutinho. I believe, is he not?
Is he? Yeah. But he's not as good, but look, he's a similar type of player.
But Coutinho, maybe you could say, if Lanzini progresses, because...
Well, yeah, but they're pretty Coutinho much the same
wild, aren't they? Oh, are they?
Yeah. I think Lanzini's 24. Any other names being bannered about that you've heard?
No, but go on, Archie.
Well, I've not paid attention. I've not really bothered. I've sort of the transfer window's become one of these, I don't know, things to be avoided for me, because we'll get linked with 29 players and sign none of them and sign people that we think are rubbish.
Corker,
yeah.
Corker was, but
Stephen Corker,
yeah, the defender. He's been released from QPR.
Oh, he must be top quality then. Sign him for a.
So is he free then?
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
He used to play. He used to play football at Predators with Murph, Dad.
Did he?
Yeah.
But he was at Tottenham, wasn't he? Did he go to Tottenham?
Yeah. Yeah, he did all right in Tottenham, didn't he? And then he got moved to Cardiff to get first team football, was it?
I don't know. Something's obviously happened and changed. It's obviously the money, maybe, or whatever, has changed his mindset or something, because he's been going down the leagues and now he's out and released on a free. But, you know, we're talking about Moyes and how well he's kind of doing and we're sort of warming to him and whatever. He's come out and said a while back, 3 or 4 weeks back, saying that he needs to shake the squad up. We're very lacking in this. We're lacking in that. He needs to strengthen this, strengthen that. And here we are, 9th of January, and we've not signed anyone. So that's what that's what frustrates me. I've said it before.
Yeah, but it's not him, is it?
No, it's not him. But it's what frustrates me about this transfer window, particularly, is that we are not doing very well, and they've got a new manager in who could identify, I would imagine, one or two players of his like he would like to get in. There are players playing for us that aren't doing so well. There's players who are playing for us who don't want to be there, the likes of Sacco. Why are we like 10 days into the transfer window and nothing happened? Why have no players moved on? Why have we got nothing in?
Dangerous game to play if you move people on too fast and don't get replacements.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They should be all, you know, if they are going to commit to buy two or three players or one or two players, why not get it done now? Why not have it all ready before the transfer window starts and get it all done and dusted 3 or 4 days in so they're in the squad for January? Why now wait till the end of the transfer window, do it the last day or two, and, you know, there's two games missed or three games missed?
It's like a game of cat and mouse, isn't it? It's a domino effect as well. The market we're in, we're reliant on Newcastle wanting to sell a Shelvey, yeah? Newcastle probably got to line up a replacement. So Newcastle probably won't want to sell a Shelvey till they've got someone lined up. So it's a domino effect. So everything's got to happen. And that's the way I see. Nothing happens till the last week because everybody's running around trying to set up this domino effect so it all then filters down. We'll sell him to you if we can get this player. This has happened. You know,
Everyone's playing the waiting game.
I mean, Virgil van Dijk was probably sold to Liverpool in September once they'd got over the spat of the illegal tap-up before the season. So the deal was probably done in September. He just had to sit there to make his move. Coutinho, again, Barcelona have been chasing him and chasing him. These deals are all done. I mean, look at the amounts of money. I'd be surprised if we're shopping in the 30 million window, let alone Liverpool just paid 70 for Van Dijk. I mean, how much is Southampton buying for? This is where I look and think, what's our scouting network doing? Virgil van Dijk was at Celtic. Southampton buy him. How have Southampton managed to pick up these players and grow them and then sell them all on for profit while we're running at a loss year on, year on? It's our scouting that's gone wrong.
But Van Dijk, they paid good money for him, though, didn't they?
I bet it.
Yeah, weren't cheap.
What do you call good money? What, 10?
I'll find out.
Well, back two seasons ago or whenever they bought him, they paid like 18 or 20 or something. It seemed like a lot of money. And there's no way our lot were going to pay that at the time.
13.
Yes.
13.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't think it was that much. I mean, 13 million, you know, that's big money to Celtic. That's the thing. Scottish football, you can go up there and if this Dembele, Moussa Dembele's at Celtic keeps going, he's going to be worth a lot of money. Southampton have took the chance on him. We don't seem to take... This Argentinian you've just named, Gator, 29. I got a bit of stick in the summer.
First name, Ali. Oh,
yeah, Ali Gator. Hey, go on, give yourself a slap. In the summer, I complained because it was like Dad's army we were recruiting. And that's what we keep doing. If we're buying 28, 29-year-olds, there's no resale value if they did progress that a big club wanted to sign them. You know, I've heard other people say a good thing about Golden Sullivan is at least we're not a selling club. That's because we're buying people no one wants to buy when we're finished with them.
Yeah, it's true. We have a lot of players with trouble moving on.
Yeah.
But what about, would anyone believe any truth in the Carroll to Chelsea story?
In the what, sorry?
The Carroll to Chelsea story.
Oh, now see, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I can see the attraction. He's a plan B and he fulfills an English homegrown player spot, doesn't he?
I think he showed against West Brom on his day he can be unplayable. I mean, he smashed through two defenders, leapt in the air, smashed through two defenders and headed it home. You know, David Cross used to do that. We loved him for it. Artson used to get in there and put his head about as well. The problem with Carroll is that's probably it. That's well, his that, one.
He could go on a run. Once he gets up and running in full fitness, he can go on a run like that. But his fitness never lasts, for that long enough period of time for him to fully get going. And that'd be why more than anything. But, his downfall is some of the stuff he come out and said as well, isn't it? He's turned people against him. So a lot of people were just, he can go.
But, what for the way the fans turned on him? Because he'd made that comment. I can't remember who beat us before we played Watford, but we lost 2-0 at Watford and the fans were singing, Andy Carroll will stay to the end. And he was on the pitch so he could hear it. So.
All right, that's transfers then.
Hey.
Hey. It's time for this. I put on the Facebook group earlier, which is facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast. Podcast on site at 7 p.m. If you have anything you want to say about Shrewsbury, please send it in, as we don't have much. And of course, anything else you'd like to tell, ask us, fire away. Who we got quite a few tonight.
More than eight.
Ed Hawk.
More than eight.
More than eight. Wow. Yeah, funnily enough.
Up you, Dave. We got more than eight listeners.
Yeah. Didn't bother you.
Go on.
That's what I said.
Ed Hawthorne.
Can everyone be careful about making any comments about Nigel's dancing on that Facebook group, because it doesn't bother him.
Ed Hawthorne says, worst football to watch, Sam or Moyes? We kind of touched on that earlier.
Sam,
all day long.
Yeah, Sam, and judge it next year if he's still there. Lewis Ehrentraut says, I think we should sign Shelby and Fellaini and ask Fellaini to donate his hair to Jonjo as a wig. We desperately need a centre midfielder. Why aren't the club trying to get a loan in? We can't go waiting for Shelby until Newcastle sign a replacement.
Yeah,
it's just who, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Atletico Madrid man could work. Lee Peathers says, why were we so toothless against Shrewsbury? You used your joke there, Nige. Or did you nick it off him?
I didn't say.
Ed Hughes says, do you think the senior players who failed to turn up against Shrewsbury, i.e. Kouyaté, IU, are ashamed to have been outshone by youngsters like Cullen, Burke and Martinez?
I doubt if they're ashamed.
I don't think they care, to be honest.
I'd like to think they'd be embarrassed. I don't know about ashamed, but you'd like to think they would look at that and be embarrassed at the way they played.
I can't see it myself. Paul Kelly says, is the story about the low bid for Arta true? And if so, is this indicative of the budget Moyes is being given this window? Now, Arta's been one that's been bandied around as well. We missed him, didn't we? Well,
apparently, we've offered the 5 million. That's what I think he's saying, that we offered.
Yeah, let's say that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, yeah. And I've also read that Bournemouth are offended.
Perhaps I can start a petition on change.com. They've been offended by this bid. See if they can get thousands of people to sign it. That's what happens when people get offended now, isn't it? They start petitions.
Yeah.
We were offended by the West Ham board sign here. Would you not? Would you sign it, Nigel?
If it was about the board, yeah, I probably would, actually. Funny enough. Yeah.
Paul Seaman says, positives. The young players showed they deserve more inclusion in the Premier League squads. Replay means you should see more of them. Defensively, we were okay, given we were playing four at the back and Hart did well. Negatives, there was no form of attacking threat. Desperately need options in centre mid and strikers look well off the pace.
Yeah. So a lot of people are turning against Hernandez, aren't they, now as well? It's difficult to judge him on that game as well, because I don't think he got a single ball to him in the box once.
Yeah, I'll tell you what though, you watch him, he loves to throw himself about and whinge like a girl. And that's for me, I've gone a bit, I don't think we played the right football for him. I think at Man U he was an impact player, he came off the bench a lot. I don't know about Real Madrid, but he got goals there. But he's got quality setting him up. He's never going to have that at West Ham, is he? Realistically speaking.
No.
you know, it just shows you that, that those type of fox in the box players, they thrive on service, and you ain't getting that.
Nick Harvey says Shrewsbury was yet another very poor performance. Forget all this talk of 3 games in 5 days. Our ability to retain possession is appalling. He outlines IU and Hernandez as awful. And Kouyaté, Obiang and Reed. He also says, what's the point in Hernandez being in the team, the way he sets the team up?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
David White says, do you all agree Cullen needs a chance now? Burke, for me, not ready and needs to go back on loan.
No, I didn't think Burke needs to go on loan. I think Burke's ready, actually. I think he's ready to be given a chance.
I just think they should keep him in the squad. Yeah. And, you know, when the time's right, play him. You know, when Cullen got moved into the middle, he just kept that ball ticking over in the middle. He done well, I thought. So give him a go. You know, what have you got to lose, really, when you could possibly like be replacing the Kiati with him, who's just completely gone off the boil.
Also.
But as far as like the form, go on, sorry, mate, there are things about people saying about IU and things like everything you read is like IU's being thrown about as part of a deal for Mawson, because that was another one we've been linked with. You know, you see all these things about the players being linked with selling here. You've heard Hernandez might be sold and this. So maybe they do just get the ache and think, you know what, sod this, I can't be arsed today. You know, it could be that way, yeah. Couldn't it?
Reece Burke, Newham boy, West Ham born and bred. We're losing our only other Newham born player, Noble, whose time is coming up, even though he's still probably got 2 years, possibly. Personally, I think we have to keep one. I know people can say, you know, you don't keep people just because of where they're born, but I think you need one. So hopefully Burke can be that one to replace Noble as the proper West Ham boy.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's from what I've seen of him, even in the past, he's done well.
I've seen him at games when he's not played, at away games in the crowd.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's him by that soppy haircut he's got that these kids have all swept back and made him look taller than he probably is. But yeah, but it,
these
yeah,
kids, these eh? Kids,
you know, but you know, 2 years ago I remember seeing him in an away game. I don't know if it was at Arsenal or something in the crowd, but he was in with the West Ham fans, not sitting with the. You know, he could have probably sat with the club, but he was in with the fans. So I think that for me that says a lot as well.
Sean Whetstone. Dear George, John and Nigel, I watched the Shrewsbury game with the Tenerife Hammers and we all agreed the game was a load of dog beep. The girlfriend was so bored she spent the game reading Karen Brady's book Strong Women, which describes how she got drunk at 2 years old, stayed out all night in Soho at the age of 14 and generally dislikes watching football. Question for you lads. What is your favourite FA Cup moment that you personally attended? No duplication. Oh, well, there's a proper question, huh? Nigel, what's your favourite FA Cup moment that you've attended?
Oh, so many. I'll tell you, really? It might be strange. The 4-0 defeat at Forest was one of the best games I ever attended. Yeah. Purely for the way the West Ham fans showed their class in the singing of Bully Bonds' Carrot of the Blue Army non-stop for half hour as goal after goal flew in after Tony Gale had been sent off. You know, if you see it back on video, you just see, you know, I was on the whole end tucked in the corner. And it was just like electric being there. You know, you would have thought we were winning. And we weren't. We were getting smashed. But we were just there to have a great day. So that's one of the best ever games ever. Not just FA Cup for me.
A 4-0 defeat. Well,
you say that. Yeah. I mean, you look at it like that, you know. I'm fortunate enough to have been to the semi-final when Airwood scored. I did the third round replay in 80, the fourth round game at Orient, the fifth round game Swansea, sixth round game Aston Villa final. But I still look back and think that was, I was, what, 21. That was a fantastic day out with my best mate next to me. So, yeah.
Oh. John?
I can't remember. That. I don't know. I mean, what really sticks out for me, as in actually being there, was the final. And yeah. I think when Konchesky's goal went in, and we couldn't believe it, that was right in front of us. And yeah, for me, that was one of my best moments.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well.
No duplication,
Konchesky's goal.
No duplication.
Well, you'd have to go for the first one. You had to go for the Ashton.
Yeah.
As he...
No, yeah, it would probably be Dean Ashton. No, it was the Matty Everett goal, wasn't it? Was it Dean Ashton?
Dean Ashton.
It was Matty Everett's own goal, wasn't it? Douglas Woodhurst says, Martinez surely needs a start now. He's better than Chicharito in the 15 minutes he played. Gary Prince says, when you consider we had 3 games in 6 days, 1 win, 2 draws, is it actually a decent return?
Yeah.
Well, not when you play in Shrewsbury.
Yeah, well, yeah. Apart from the Shrewsbury, yeah.
Bobby Walden says, Sean, can you try and make the transfer targets segment sound more positive and exciting than it actually is, please? Sean then replies saying, maybe next week. This week you have miserable John, George and Nigel, so positivity and excitement are not 2 words to associate with them.
He's got thanks, quite Sean. A time while he's on holiday, isn't he?
Yeah, he must have a great time, isn't he?
You know, I think... talking of egos, there's one that's missing out, isn't it? Dear.
Jeffrey Smith says, is it true that Psycho told Cullen to go back on the pitch in just his pants, but the fourth official said he couldn't?
I've read that, but
I think he did say something to him while he was standing there. The fourth official, Bobby Madley. How about that?
Didn't get any abuse, did he?
Well, we didn't notice. I weren't until I see it back on the telly. I watched it on the telly yesterday. I thought, oh, blimey. Luckily, none of the officials got injured, innit? I think there might have been a lynching.
Yeah. That would have been funny, wouldn't it, if he'd have come on as the ref.
And then there's one last one from Liam Tyrrell who says, the cap fiasco, typically amateurish of the club. Why did Hart not notice the big orange thing in the warm-up? I don't know what that means.
The sun. The big.
Yeah, no, I know that, but what was there? Was there a cap fiasco?
The sun was shining right in our eyes. So Hart was defending the goal where the West Ham fans were behind in the first half. And he wouldn't have been able to see anything. So a West Ham fan threw his hat on the pitch for him because I laughed because I had my flat cap on and I said, perhaps I should have gone and give him my one. It looked a bit funny. But yeah, but then afterwards we were talking about the drive. I'm like, you'd have thought he would have had a cap in his bag. Did they not notice? So like you said, we warmed up in front of that goal as well. So Hart was warming up in the goal in front of the West Ham fans. He must have noticed the sun was shining directly into it. The whole game.
Yeah, that's exactly what the guy's just saying, isn't it? Did he not notice? It's just typical.
Liam was there. I know Liam. But yeah, hello, Liam.
That's what it was.
I'm waving, but he can't see it. As we
can't see it.
He won't be listening.
He won't be listening.
It's a radio.
Only 8 people.
And then we've had some comments on Twitter. Liam actually says, told all my mates about the show, so he might go up to 9 listeners now.
That includes us
four. Mark Bright says, so am I. That's 10 then. We're getting there.
I don't listen. I'll listen to
predictions for Huddersfield, please. Predictions for Huddersfield, please.
Oh, we've got the predictions for Huddersfield.
Sorry, George. Yeah, we want to crack on. I think we will win 2-1.
I'll go 3-1. Nigel?
Lose, I think. 1-0.
Ooh.
Save ourselves for the replay.
There goes the positivity out of the podcast. You were right, Phil.
Oh dear.
Anything else to add before we wrap
your
it
dinner's
up?
About ready, I
no,
think.
No, I haven't.
45 minutes.
It is ready, yeah. That's why I'm wrapping it up. Come on, here we go. Thanks for listening.
I'd like to thank you all.
Our
name, Jim, John, Dave, Liam.
Thanks for listening. Call you Irons.
Call you Irons. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.